Oh, thank you for having me. Right now, I feel a knot in my stomach. It's very weird. I know most of you all these years, and some people are new. This is the second time that I stand in front of people. That's 40-some years ago, doing an essay at school, no English. I did an essay with barely speaking. Got an A in English, though. Teacher at mine said, how do I do that? I do a lot of reading. I read a lot, but I don't understand what I say. So if you tell me to give somebody a message, wrong. I understood half, and I only could tell the other person one-fourth or half what I know. So it could be a fish story. Who knows? Anyway, what I tell you where I come from is from Vietnam. I was born there. I left it in 1975. I was 15 years old. I was a teenager. But I had a heart of a child, and I was small, like a little one. I was not 15, looked like a 15 years old. I fit in the third grade when I first came here, and they put me in the third grade, and I love it. Anyway, the reason I love it because I see moving pictures and books. I can never get enough of it, books, because where I come from, books were only allowed at school, and you cannot take it home. So if you don't do your homework, you don't finish your homework, you're out of luck. Because everything you learn is at school, because you can't take the book home. Book is very valuable. The only book that I know at home, it was the Bible. And it's actually the wrong Bible. After I became a Baptist, I realized it was the wrong Bible. I have to have a man of God to tell me that. So I'm so glad about that. Let me take you back to April 9th. 1975. It was an early morning. You know that daylight saving time? Well, the sun hadn't been up yet. My mom waked me up early in the morning. No luggage, no nothing. She just said, we got to go. The reason she was, at that time, she was at shock about, because the next door, people already gone. I don't even know where they've been. But the house empty, and people was ransacking the place. So my mom and me and my brother was there alone, and that triggered it. She didn't want to leave the country. She didn't want to leave home. She didn't know where to go. She's just scared. So she just had one hand, me on one side, my brother on one side, and she'd take us down to the ocean. Now, granted, we live, half our country is on the borderline of ocean. We don't know how to swim. One of those things is why? I always tell people, when we see water coming, we move. We don't wade in it. We don't swim in it. Most of us don't drown because we saw water coming. We move to higher ground. We don't go look for it. Anyway, she walked us down the water. And my mom was a tall woman. She's about 5'5 for an Asian. Okay, and me and my brother were so high like this. And people are walking down to the ocean, and I look over to my brother, and I was saying to my mind, we're going to die because we don't swim. But mom was in a daze. She just walking. And at that morning, the daylight, people was out there already waiting for something they don't know. They just didn't want to live in a communist country. So they just left the land. Went out into the water. At that point, at that time, we're living in a village, a fishing village. So there's somebody was coming in. They saw us coming out, so they're coming back in to rescue us. Thank God. We would have been dead. My mom wouldn't know it. The reason we didn't say anything, because we're not allowed to. We only say something if a question was asked. And when we answer, we have to answer it right. It's a riddle. We get spanked for answer wrong. It's the most amazing thing. That's why we don't get to know anything. The war is going on for about 20 years. The radio, but don't allow to turn on. We have TV, but we don't allow to turn on. But when we turn it on, it's programmed by the government. We live in a free country there, not a communist, but it's still controlled by government. So we don't get to hear the news. about what's going on. We just know people go into war and they don't come home. Okay? And so we was going down to the water, people rescuing us. Next thing we know, that we was on this big flat piece of metal that belonged to U.S. government. They use it to haul like tank, military plane, or even garbage. How do I know it's a military? Barbed wire. Everywhere that they station, they always put up a wall, fence, and barbed wire. That's how we know. It's like hundreds and hundreds of people on this flat piece of metal floating in the ocean. We there for a few days. I know we was hungry, but we don't know where the food come from. All I know is my mom gave me and my brother a bowl of rice. Me and my brother were sharing that one bowl of rice, a small bowl. I actually never seen my mom eat. We was out there for 7 to 10 days. And I know from the truth is, we can go without food for a long time. We don't even know it. I did not know this until I came to the United States a few years later. I realized that my mom didn't eat for those days. They only gave us one bowl of rice for 3 people, and she gave it to me and my brother. We just kid. We just eat. And we don't know. I realized that later in life. Anyway, we was out there for 7 to 10 days. And at this point, the whole world knew what's going on. The refugees is stranded out there. There's a million of us out there. Don't know where we're going to land and up. So people from all, like, Australia, Canada, Europe, England, you name it. They was out there rescuing, knowing that the refugee out there near home. So we were just waiting and waiting. People trample over each other for food or to get onto the next big ship. So that's how us Vietnamese is all over the world, not just United States. And me and my brother and my mom was going across this plank. It was a big ship came. It was an American ship that day, that time we got on. And while I was walking across the plank, I fell off. So for a long time, I didn't realize it, why I cannot swim. Because I fell at that time. At school, people was making fun of me because I don't know how to swim. They make fun of me. They say, you live right border of water. How come you don't know how to swim? But I couldn't tell them why. That deep down my mind, fear. I even afraid of taking a bath in the tub. Fear. Yeah. Anyway, when we got onto the big ship, they put us down in the cargo. I know it's U.S. because they speaking different language and they all white. All I learned in my school day, we don't learn about other people, other races around the world. We just know that they all look like me, except, you know, their nose is ridged high, and we know that's American, and they have blonde hair. That's the most amazing thing that we've seen. We always see black hair, and we saw these blonde people. We just stare at them. Yeah. The most beautiful creature, you know. Anyway, we was down there, and they speaking English, and that's all I know. Don't even know they even have ABC. In Vietnamese, we say ABC because we got influenced by the French. Originally, we was Chinese, dominated by them for 1,000 years. And so when the French came, they controlled us for almost 100 years. So our language have been changed. Okay. So that's how come you can see my name, M-U-N-G. But if it's in Chinese, it looks like somebody had dropped an ink block on the paper. That's what it looked like to me. Anyway, we was out there in the ocean for about 10 days, got on a big boat. And next thing you know, I don't know how long we was on there out in the ocean in the big U.S. boat. They dropped us off in Philippines. I did not know where that was in the beginning, but we stayed there for 3 days and 2 nights. And they serve us food, real food, for the first time in a long time. For a little 15-year-old, long time to wait for real food. 3 day and three night military child. Yes. Anyway, we were staying there for a few days, and next thing I know, we got hauled off to Guam. A just tropical place, just like back home, okay? And it's a military base. We didn't know it was a USA owned barbed wire fence. We know it's USA, yeah. So we don't know why, how long we were staying there. When they serve us, military child, same way, 3 times a day. And I was a kid. I love it because it's something different. I didn't realize that we're never going to be home again. We fled the country because communists, not good. Regardless what you see or hear, if they say it's good, it's fake. It's real, they're not real. Good about anything. They control the way you, how you speak, what you write, how much you can earn, all that. Yeah, they kind of give you stuff in the beginning to entice you, and they take a little bit away, and next thing you know, you don't have anything. Okay. Anyway, after we lived in the warm for a few months, I was a kid. I kind of miss home, but in a different place. I got this place, and kids in shock, just like an adult when you're facing some kind of issue, and sometimes we don't think about it, like a kid carrying the burden just as heavy as an adult is. And at that time, I knew that something was going to change. And I didn't want to talk about it. And I didn't ask my mom. And they don't talk about it either. The adult don't tell children what's going on. We only know what they tell us. And to behave. If you're not, you get a whooping. Almost do that every day. I get some. Because I could always say something wrong or do something wrong. It's terrifying. Anyway, when we were living warm for like 6 months, and they start taking picture of us. I don't even know where, why they're doing this. Remember those Polaroid? Yeah, I can't pronounce that. Yeah, English problem. Instant picture, that's the only way I could say it. Anyway, they took picture of us, and I have no clue, and they log it in and know who it is. What they did is they're doing that, and so they sent those pictures to people like you all, or a church family group like this, to sponsor us. And that's all I know. And next thing you know, we got on a big plane and shipped off to Arkansas. That's where we stay. It's another refugee camp by American USA military. Yeah, I recognize the fence and all that stuff. It's the same thing, yeah. We lived there for a few months. They provide us food 3 times a day and clothing. It does not fit us because we are small, petite people. Yeah. And when they give us, like, a bed sheet, you know, brand new bed sheet, so we tear them up, cut them up, and we make clothes for ourselves. And we make dress clothes like this to wear. More shoes is the most amazing thing to me for a girl. Anyway, when I came to the United States, the first 5 years, I was terrified. I know the culture is different than where I've grown up. Like, where I come from, touch me, women, girl, we are not allowed to speak unless we're spoken to. Yeah. We have to learn the basic, cook, clean, sew, and have a little conversation. But we don't have it unless the man talked to us. Yeah. And I came to the United States, free country. You get to speak your mind. And actually can tell people where to go. Learned that really quick, yes. And I love this culture here. I want to change, but my mom don't allow it. At that point in time, she was arranging marriage for me. The first 5 years I got here, I was depressed. Every day I go to school, I come home on the weekend, there's a bunch of men at the house looking me over. She was arranging. They are very old. Especially if you're a young maiden, they will entice your parents like they had a house, they have a car, and they have jobs. And your mom, well, my mom, she's by herself, so she's scared. She don't have a man around. She'll look out for me. But sometimes everybody make a mistake. So she wanted to marry me off to somebody who would have things, don't necessarily love. She already asked me, what do you think about him? You think you like him? So we fight. I cuss. Yeah. I do know those words. Yeah. Me and my mom don't get along the first 5 years we got here. I was depressed. And I actually don't want to say the word. I was suicidal because I didn't want to be arranged marriage. I was going to school. I love it. I love the life. I like the change. But because of what my mom, I wanted to honor my mom and do the way she want me to. But in my heart, I wanted to change. I wanted to do something. I wanted to do the thing, like preachers say, out there in the world. Yeah, I wish I was Baptist then, grown in a Christian home. Yeah. So if you are now, just start. You want to love it. I do love it now. Anyway, after my mom passed away, after 5 years got here, she was depressed. So I became an orphan after 5 years I was here. Even though I was 20-some years old already, but my mind was still like a child, just like her. Yeah. So I was an orphan again in a world that I want to be free. So I have to grow up really fast, really fast. And I learned over time that I have to accept being me, do the right things, but most time, no, I'm not. So after a few years, I made my own decision, got married and all that stuff, and I had a son, 3 daughters. And I lost my son a few years after that. And I was in a depressing state again. And this time it's also suicidal. And then Baptist people, they obey God. Great Commission, knock on my door. You know, granted, I was like, almost 3 decades until somebody come knock on my door, tell me about Jesus, got saved. And you know, at that time, my heart was tender. I just lost my son. Because of that, it's explained to me. Oh, don't forget, I thought I was a Christian because I was raised in a long line of Catholic. And you know what they are? Yeah. I thought I was the only one, my religion, that go to heaven. I was wrong. Preacher explained it to me. No. So after I got saved, and I began to love my life, things changed. I'm looking forward to lady get together like this all the time. Because the world is very glamorous. I always wanted it. But the price you pay is very high. And sometimes you can't get out of it. So that's why Sunday is very important to me. Sometimes I do go come to church late. I have no idea how. I have no more children to worry about. But I can't make it on time. Yeah. Oh, boy. I have to talk to preacher about that, too. Yeah. I want to be faithful. I don't want to stress Mrs. Debbie out. Because sometimes I do get here late. Yeah. But she don't text me. Sometimes preacher does. Yeah. So after I got saved, I love my life now. But that doesn't mean that I don't have heartache, sadness. But sometimes preacher remind me that, yeah, you hurt. You just have to hurt for a little bit and just wipe it off and move on. I got things to do. Because when you're in a depressed state, you're going to not go to work. Yeah, if you don't go to work, you don't eat. Yeah. And you're going to miss your duty here at church. Yeah. And I do enjoy meeting my church family. Yeah. Enjoy the nursery. Yeah. Can't smack them, though. I love the children. They enjoy that. Watching the little Wyatt from baby up now. Yeah. But, yeah, so being here 46 years, I love it. Once in a while, I get some old lady ask me, do you like it here? I say, I better. I've been here 40-some years. I love it. Yes. But I didn't get saved until I was 40-some years old. So, but to me, it's just like yesterday. Preacher remind me that I never get old. Yeah. So it's all remind me. After my son passed away, that's when I got saved. Yeah. I cry every day wondering where my son is. Yeah. I don't know. I don't think he knows the Lord like I do. So I hurt every time I hear it. Preacher talk about it. Talk about the invitation. Yeah. I do miss my mom, even though she's my adopted mom. When people say, what? Yeah, I've been orphaned second time. See, they brought me home from the orphanage when I was 6, 7 years old. Yeah. And when she passed away, I became an orphan again, and it hurts. Yeah. So every time I see an older lady here at the church, I look at them. I wish they was my mom. Because I grown up missing my mom. We had fight a lot, so I don't have the good connection with my mom. So I regret that every day a lot. When I see other people have problems, I was thinking, I wish I had their problem because mine is gone. It's gone. But overall, I love my life now. I love being a Christian. I try to be good. Yeah, I work out there. So it's hard. Sometimes I say hell, and people say, Mung, is that cussing? I say, no, hell's hot. And then they ask me, and that's how I got my conversation telling about Jesus. That's how I do it. That's how I talk conversation with telling people about Jesus, you know. And that's how I tell people about how God got saved. And I say those two words, and I give them a track and then tell them about how to get saved. And that's my funny part, yeah. And today, you know, I've been preparing this for a long time, but my story, it's just how I got here. It's very tragic for some people, especially for women and girls. When you're out there in the ocean, pirate. Yes, it's very, very scary out there for women. Anytime you hear refugee, women pay very high price. They lose their, when they get hurt, sometimes they even die. They lose their honor because they are women. Yeah. When talk about war, women pay the highest price. Some people don't understand that. But I was fortunate. Nothing happened to me. A lot of other girls and women, when they came to the United States, sometimes they thinking they'd rather die. They'd rather die than living and relive that life that happened to them. And thank you. I love my church. I love you all. I don't say it because it's kind of weird for me where I come from. Hugging and saying I love you is unheard of. We only know they love us because they do things for us, but they don't actually express it. So it's very hard for me. It's been 40-some years. I should learn that by now. And hugging people, sometimes I was kind of scared. Sometimes I even ask permission, can I hug you? And that is very weird for me to ask permission. But to you all, it's so easy. You just come up and grab people. Sometimes I do that, but I was worrying, maybe it's wrong. Yeah. But thank you for having me.